You are presiding, your silence is commanded.
Okay, please be seated. I think we have a couple of high schools with us in this session this morning. Port Washington High School.
Good
group. Nice to see you here today. You drove over from Ozaukee County, so I drove over from Washington County. I bet you had a white ground as well. Yeah, well, safe travels. Go ahead and have a seat. And then Wisconsin Lutheran High School from Milwaukee County. Nice to see you as well. We hope you enjoy your visit here at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think Justice Dallet is prepared to meet with you if you have after this oral argument this morning. But thanks for coming. Go ahead and have a seat. The case that we'll be hearing now is Citation Partners LLC versus Wisconsin Department of Revenue, 20 AP 1683. Could I please have counsel's appearances? All right, good morning. 25 minutes followed by 30 minutes, 5 minutes on rebuttal, correct? All right, please proceed.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Wes Webendorfer of the DeWitt firm, on behalf of Petitioner Citation Partners LLC. As I said, with me is my partner Barrett Van Sicklin, and also the majority owner of Citation Partners, Mr. Dwayne Folks. This case is about the Tax Appeals Commission and the Department of Revenue imposing sales tax on reimbursement payments for aircraft repair parts and maintenance services to aircraft that the legislature has deemed are tax exempt under 2013 Wisconsin Act 185. Act 185 is a comprehensive sales tax exemption for the sale of aircraft repair parts and maintenance services to aircraft. Citation Partners leases its aircraft to related and unrelated party lessees and makes direct payment to vendors on the lessee's behalf for those aircraft repair parts and maintenance services. Citation Partners is subsequently reimbursed dollar for dollar by the lessees for the lessee's proportionate share of those same repair parts and maintenance costs. The reimbursement payments at issue here are the exact items of property and services to which Act 185 applies. And therefore, those reimbursements are exempt from sales tax. No one disputes in this case that if the lessees of the aircraft paid vendors directly for aircraft repair parts and maintenance services, that that transaction, those payments, would be sales tax exempt pursuant to Act 185. There is no difference under the law, therefore, between that direct payment example, lessees to vendors directly, versus what happens here, which is Citation Partners paying those vendors on behalf of and as agent of the lessees. That's because under the law, the acts of an agent are the acts of a principal.
Who owns the aircraft?
Citation Partners, Your Honor, owns the aircraft. The impact of the agency relationship here.
Counsel, you make an argument about reimbursement. With the Tax Appeals Commission, we defer to the findings of the Tax Appeals Commission unless those are erroneous when we're reviewing that. The Tax Appeals Commission explicitly reviewed the agreements here in quite a bit of detail and said exactly the opposite. And so are you arguing that the Tax Appeals Commission made erroneous findings on that regard? And could you explain how you're dealing with our obligation to, again, defer to the Tax Appeals Commission's factual findings?
Yes, Your Honor. All of the issues in this case may be decided as a matter of law and therefore de novo. And that's because in this case, when the commission addressed the issue of agency, it was presented a stipulation of facts between the parties. There was no trial on any of these issues. Facts were stipulated and agreed to. There were cross motions for summary judgment at the Tax Appeals Commission. And then the commission made a determination by its own words as a matter of law. And the case law supports that. When the concept of agency is a legal construct based on particular facts.
I'm not talking about their agency, because that's a separate argument, and maybe we'll talk about that too. But you started your argument talking about the fact that this is a reimbursement kind of arrangement. The Tax Appeals Commission goes through and says that's not at all what happens. I mean, there's some of that that may be built in, but that this is a functional part of the business model, those other things that are built in, it's not a dollar-for-dollar reimbursement. So that premise that you seem to be relying on for your argument isn't accurate, according to the Tax Appeals Commission. That's a separate from the agency argument, related to it, but separate. So could you just address the reimbursement piece, since you opened with that?
Sure. Yes, Your Honor. As I said, the reimbursement concept, that was, they are genuine reimbursements here that are at issue, and that was an issue that was part of the stipulation of facts before the commission. The department agreed to that stipulation. Everybody agreed that substantively what was going on here were reimbursements. The commission, I think as a matter of law, erroneously concluded that these were not reimbursements. This court can make a determination de novo that in fact they are reimbursements. They are genuine reimbursements.
Does your position depend on us finding that the Tax Appeals Commission made erroneous factual findings on this point?
Again, Your Honor, I don't believe that it was a factual determination. I believe it was made as a matter of law. Cross motions for summary judgment. There was no disagreement as to any of the facts. Our position is that that issue can be reviewed by this court under the Tetra Tech case de novo. Even if you were to conclude that it was a factual determination that should be found based on the substantial evidence standard, we would still prevail. And that's because, again, everyone agreed that these are substantive, genuine reimbursements. And I think the lease documents themselves, in addition to what the department agreed to, that these were reimbursements, is actually what's going on here.
I'm a little confused. I think what I heard you say is that you're asking us to find that the Tax Appeal Commission, as a matter of law, erroneously, they were not reimbursements. What was the error of law?
Perhaps I misspoke, Your Honor. I think the determination that this court can make as to the reimbursement issue can be made as a matter of law and de novo. I think what the commission held was wrong under any standard that you might apply, because what the department agreed to is that these were substantive reimbursements, and I think the commission's decision itself focused far too narrowly in determining that these were not reimbursements. It focused on a very narrow provision of the dry lease in this case, a provision under the restrictions on use section that relates to certain payments that can be made and maintenance to the aircraft under $5,000. And the commission then extrapolated from that the structure here is the reverse, that Citation Partners is actually reimbursing the lessees. But that's not at all what is going on under the undisputed facts, because what we're dealing with in this case is what I'll call engine maintenance and aircraft maintenance, which is a completely separate procedure and a completely separate set of maintenance that's addressed in the maintenance and repairs section of the dry lease.
So I'm trying to get the facts straight, just so that I know what I'm dealing with. Citation Partners is the owner of, let's just say, an aircraft, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then the lessee is someone who comes in and basically doesn't want to buy an aircraft, but they want to lease the aircraft and have access to that as needed, right?
That's correct.
So it's one lessee of one aircraft for the most part, unless someone else decides to use it when the lessee's not using it, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So it's really, for all purposes, kind of like a car lease. If you lease instead of buy a car, it's your car, you maintain it, you do the repairs on it. This otherwise would be their aircraft to do the repairs on it, right?
I think the important difference, Your Honor, compared to the scenario you gave, a car lease, is that First of all, there's an Act 185 exemption here specifically
Not there yet. There isn't. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to assume mm-hmm. there's that exemption mm-hmm. for car repairs, we could. Mm-hmm. But that's. I'm just trying to get the facts right so that there's an understanding of how this works.
Sure.
Right? So they lease it to basically one entity. That entity is, for probably, you know, month to month for a year on the hook, right, according to the aircraft dry lease. And they are really the people that are responsible for fixing it. Right?
Under the dry lease and the related side agreements, the entity that is responsible for maintaining the aircraft is the lessees. And that's clear under the dry lease and especially with regard to the side agreement after the effective date of
Act 185. But as a practical matter, the lessee is not the person who knows this needs to be fixed, that needs to be fixed, knows the people in the industry. Instead, part of this whole agreement is that Citation Partners steps into that role to get things fixed for the lessee so it's ready to roll when they need it to be, right?
Not exactly, Your Honor. So the way it works under the dry lease is Citation Partners, you might think of it as kind of an administrative coordinator for scheduling the maintenance and then paying for the maintenance.
That's what I thought, maybe not.
Okay.
It's tough, I guess, as far as people understanding questions I'm asking. Right. I mean, they're the ones who do it. Otherwise, if they didn't have that role of coordinating that, then the person who's the lessee would have to coordinate and pay for that, right?
Right. And I think just to further clarify, the lessees control the maintenance. They are the ones that identify and determine whether maintenance should take place in the first place. They are required to. They bring their own flight crew. They supply the flight crew when they lease the aircraft. And they inspect the aircraft. They inspect the maintenance logbooks and the aircraft itself, and they make a determination as to whether the aircraft is airworthy. And then if it's not, if it needs repairs, the lessees are responsible for identifying that and then telling Citation Partners, this needs to be fixed. Please coordinate, schedule the maintenance, and pay for the maintenance on our behalf. That's how it works, especially with regard to the how the parties organized themselves after the effective date of Act 185, which was July 1, 2014.
Example, if the lessees directly paid the maintenance group, would there be tax under 185?
If the lessees directly paid vendors for engine maintenance and aircraft maintenance, no, because of the Act 185 exemption.
But you are directly paying the vendors and then seeking reimbursement from the lessee.
That's correct, Your Honor. And the result should be no different as a result. There's no difference under the law of agency. If the lessees pay the vendors directly, Act 185 applies. That's a sales tax exempt transaction. If Citation pays on the lessee's behalf to vendors, that's a sales tax exempt transaction again, and the reimbursement is likewise sales tax exempt because it's truly just a genuine reimbursement. If it were not the case, and that reimbursement was taxed, like the department contends, then you're imposing sales tax on the very thing that the legislature has said should not be taxed.
Is there any Wisconsin case law on this idea if an agent enters into a transaction for a principal that transaction be treated the same for the purposes of sales tax?
There's not, Your Honor. There is not a specific Wisconsin case that talks about how a reimbursement is to be treated subject to sales tax. And that's, we cite cases from other jurisdictions in our brief in support of kind of this general rule that when there's a tax and there's a genuine reimbursement to an agent for paying that tax on behalf of a principal, that the reimbursement should not be taxable. Because in our case, the ultimate transaction that Citation Partners is making is sales tax exempt. Then the reimbursement, which is just making that agent whole for advancing the costs on behalf of the principal, the reimbursement shouldn't be taxed. And likewise, if suppose for a moment Act 185 didn't exist, and Citation and everything else was the same about this case, Citation Partners pays vendors that transaction hypothetically is taxable. The reimbursement under the cases we cite from other jurisdictions should likewise not be taxable, because otherwise you're going to have a double taxation problem.
All right, I have two questions. The first is, you keep talking about reimbursement. The way I'm reading this is there's a reasonable estimate of the actual cost of repair that's built into each flight hour. So it's not like they went and got the exact whatever piece or part that needs to be done. They're offsetting a reasonable estimate of its actual cost.
So a couple points there, Your Honor. With regard to engine maintenance, and that's the maintenance that's specifically just performed to the engine of the aircraft. Williams International performs that. That is a dollar-for-dollar reimbursement. It's exact. So what Citation Partners pays to that vendor, Williams International, is based on the number of hours the aircraft has flown. And that's, in 2015, for example, that was $292 an hour that was paid to the vendor. That exact same $292 an hour charge is what the lessees reimburse Citation Partners for based on the number of hours they actually use the aircraft. So with respect to engine maintenance, it is an exact dollar-for-dollar reimbursement. Aircraft maintenance is the other part of this, and aircraft maintenance is performed by Cessna. That's the maintenance that's performed on everything other than the engine, so the wings, the fuselage, and that maintenance is paid to Cessna based on the past experience of Citation Partners, what it has cost, you know, in the previous year. So it's a very highly accurate estimate of what the hourly flight hour is. So it's very close. And I will say the Mars Supermarkets case that we cite in our opening brief on page 20, that case, again, was a taxation case. It involved reimbursement payments by several principals. And in that case, there was the reimbursements were held not taxable. And the basis for the reimbursements was a percentage allocation. So far less accurate than what we have here. And that court, that was an Indiana court, Indiana Court of Appeals, stated that that was fine. That didn't impact or alter the nature of the agency relationship at all.
All right. So I guess I have multiple questions, but I can stop at any point that my colleagues want to interrupt. So is our finding for your clients dependent on this idea of this agency relationship, which I actually like the analogy you drew, Chief Justice. Does that mean when I lease a car that the car dealership is my agent? I mean, that's really what I'm hearing you say.
I don't think so. So, first of all, you don't have to find necessarily agency to see that these reimbursement payments are not subject to sales tax. And so the department relies very heavily in their briefs on the definition of sales price in 77.51. And what that definition is, it talks about sales price being the total amount of consideration that's received by the seller. And then it enumerates a number of items that may not be deducted from sales price. Reimbursement, that concept, is never used in that provision.
Okay, but what is in that provision, and I'm glad you're focusing on the statute because we do start with that and often end with that, you're not allowed to have deduction for labor or service costs, costs of materials, labor or service costs. I don't know how you, just because it doesn't say the word reimbursement, it's very clear that costs that you include in the sales price, which is the lease price here, mm-hmm. like labor or service costs, cost of materials, are not cannot be deducted for. Taxes must be paid on that as part of the whole lease, the whole sales price. So tell me how you get around that.
I think the legislature knew how to use the word reimburse and reimbursement when it wrote the definition of sales price. Because if you look, the section that the department focuses on is 77.51, subsection 15B, paragraph A. That paragraph A, does not use the word reimburse. The definition of sales price is very lengthy. If you go then down to paragraph B, in an unrelated context, the legislature does use the word reimburse. And I think that's evidence that they knew how to use that word, they chose not to use it in subsection A, and therefore, reimbursement, that that legal concept is not the same and is different than, for instance, expenses of the seller, costs of the seller, things of that nature. So I think there's a statutory way that you can very logically find that reimbursement is not what is considered in the definition of sales price in 77.51 subsection 15B, paragraph A, and that as a result of that, reimbursements may be deducted and can be deducted from sales price. Justice Dallet, in regard to your other question about reimbursement and what the commission held, you know, the department tries to run away from this this reimbursement concept, but that's what they agreed to. We all agreed to it. In fact, throughout the stipulation of facts.
You want us to conclude that because the legislature didn't use the word reimbursement, that when they said sales price means the total amount of consideration without any deduction for the following cost of materials, labor or service costs, that we should disregard that language because they didn't really think about, or had they thought about it, they would have put in something about reimbursement either way, whether it was included or wasn't included. Help me to understand what you're saying, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think the costs of the seller, expenses, you know, are something very different than a substantive reimbursement, especially pursuant to an agency relationship like we have here.
But I thought you said you didn't need to have an agency relationship.
We don't necessarily. As I say, I think the structure of the definition of sales price alone demonstrates that reimbursements are something different than what the legislature contemplated in the applicable section of the definition of sales price.
So as long as you have a lease and you just label something that it's reimbursement, you can get around the language here that says things like the cost of materials used, taxes imposed on the seller. What if you just said we're reimbursing you for taxes? That would get out of this? We're reimbursing you for labor or service. We're reimbursing you for interest. You just label it such, and that's how you get avoid paying taxes?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I mean, Act 185 is very specific. The reimbursement that is at issue in this case is directly related to a specific sales tax exemption. This is not a case where we are saying that that we are not collecting sales tax on any portion of the rental of this aircraft. We do collect sales tax on the portion that's attributable to the what's called the flight hourly rate, basically the dry lease amount, and that's reflected in the side agreements and the invoices. What we do not collect sales tax on is these reimbursement payments that are based on the lessee's controlling under the applicable lease documents and the relationship of the parties, controlling the maintenance, the operation and maintenance of this aircraft. And because there's a specific sales tax exemption for that, these parties have created, both in their transactional documents and as a result of the way that they relate to one another, that this maintenance is a reimbursement, is therefore directly tied to the Act 185 exemption. So for those reasons, I think that, as I say, I think there's a purely statutory basis to find that these reimbursement payments are sales tax exempt under Act 185. In addition to that statutory basis to find that these reimbursement payments are exempt, the agency relationship here, too, I think is important. This court can harmonize and is I think, required to harmonize based on the precedents, the long-standing precedents in this court, that when there's a legislative enactment that does not in any way change the common law, that courts interpret those legislative enactments as harmonizing the existing common law, here the law of agency, with...
Can you help? I'm really having a hard time wrapping my mind around this argument. What's the fiduciary responsibility between the two?
So I think the fiduciary responsibility is that the lessees control this maintenance, and it's a very narrowly defined agency. Agency can be different depending on the circumstances. Here, it's a very narrow scope. The lessees determine that there is an issue with this maintenance. They control, and they ultimately control the maintenance, and then they direct Citation Partners to pay for that maintenance on their behalf. So they're
using the aircraft, and they realize something's wrong, and they tell Citation Partners something's wrong, and that's the control they have over it?
They have what's called operation. The lessees have operational control over the aircraft.
I'm not seeing a fiduciary relationship.
Well, I think it's a narrow scope. So a fiduciary relationship, it requires the agent to have trust and loyalty and care. That they do. It's just a very narrow scope where they pay vendors on behalf of the lessees. That is their agency. Citation Partners. Citation Partners, okay. Yes, pays
so
vendors.
So I forget, yes. Citation Partners is the agent of the lessee because they fix their own aircraft. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Oh. Citation Partners pays vendors on behalf of the
Behalf of the lessees who are leasing it from them because they own the aircraft. So they pay to fix the aircraft they own, and that makes them an agent.
The Citation Partners pays vendors on behalf of lessees. All Citation Partners' role as agent is to pay the vendors and to schedule the maintenance and to pay for the maintenance. That's all they do. The lessees are in charge of. They're the only ones who use this aircraft. They are the ones.
The period of the lease, but they're still owned by Citation Partners, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
Citation
your question.
Citation Partners owns the aircraft.
Correct.
So the lessee only has it for a certain period. So doesn't Citation Partners have their own interest in fixing the aircraft because it's their aircraft?
I would say, Your Honor, I draw your attention to the 2015 side agreement, which is on page 53 of our appendix. It's record site 6-35. And that's the side agreement that was applicable immediately after the effective date, or shortly after the effective date, of Act 185. And what that makes clear is it not only carves out for reimbursement engine maintenance and aircraft maintenance specifically, but it also says that the lessees will be responsible for operating expenses and charges attributable to the operation and maintenance of the aircraft. That couldn't be clearer who's in charge of maintaining and operating this aircraft. And maintenance and operation are inextricably linked. That's a responsibility of the lessees. That is how they control this process. The agent, Citation Partners, is simply paying vendors on their behalf. And that control in the 2015 site agreement is something that the commission expressly got wrong in its decision. So in the commission's decision.
Your red light has been on, and I don't know if you realize that.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name again is Anthony Russomano, and I represent the Department of Revenue. I'd like to begin my remarks, and I'll talk about agency as much as you'd like, but I'd like to begin my remarks with going back to the statute. Now, sales tax, in this case is about sales tax, is completely a creature of statute. It exists because of the statute. Its parameters are dictated by the statute. It's just a statutory thing. That's all it is. So I would encourage the court to start its analysis there. You look at the statute and see what it's covered, and then you compare it to what's in the appendix we've been referring to and see if that's taxed and how. And in this case, there is a statute that specifically taxes aircraft. That's 7751.13 AM. It specifically uses the word aircraft. So we know that aircraft are taxed. Leases or sales are taxed. They're taxed the same way, whether it's a lease or a sale. And then we look at the statute that tells you how it's taxed. And it tells you that it's taxed. I think in this case, it clearly tells you how it's taxed in two ways. First, it says on the total amount of consideration. The total amount. Okay, so that's one way it's clear. But it doesn't stop there because this is, I think, an unusually clear taxation statute because it says, then it shakes you by the shoulders and says, that means everything. It says, without any deduction for service cost, any expense, service costs is listed, labor is listed. It's saying, look at the bottom line. Look at what you're taxing. Is it a lease of an aircraft? Yes. You can look in here. It says lease on the top of it and has lease provisions all the way through it. Then you look at the bottom line and say, what's the price? And then you apply the 5% sales tax. I propose to your honors that actually is the whole analysis that you need to do to get to the result here. And it's I think that's reflected in the Court of Appeals decision that where they go straight to the statute and the answer is clear. And that, as the court's aware, is where the analysis normally should end and should end here as well.
I agree with you that statutory interpretation is very important. But I think you need to go to other statutes because there are a number of statutes that do talk about aircraft or parts of aircraft. One of those is 77.52, and I have trouble figuring out whether it's 2A10, but it's 10, okay? And this is in the section that is the imposition of retail sales tax. And it says, except for the repair, service, alteration, fitting, cleaning, painting, and on, of aircraft or aircraft parts. So that sub 10 says, no, there's no sales tax on those parts, correct? Do you agree with that?
That it's transaction-based. So if you read it, it's for services in particular. All of sub 2 under 7752 are for services.
Right.
For that transaction, that service transaction, it's not taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So when Citation Partners gets the plane...
It says parts also. It doesn't just say services. It's got both in there. Or aircraft parts. It's repair, service, da-da-da.
Of them.
Or aircraft parts.
So Citation Partners, if they were going to get their plane repaired, serviced, altered, fitted, painted, coated, towed, inspected, or maintained, they would be exempt from paying the sales, the tax, if they went directly.
Right, Your Honor. So... And maybe just to back up, sales tax is always transaction-based. So say, let's take it out of this context for a second. Say I buy a car. I buy it from the dealer.
Right.
I pay sales tax on the price.
Right.
I own the car for a couple of years. I sell it to someone on Craigslist.
Right.
That whole price they sold it for on Craigslist is, again, subject to sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
That person sells it later, that's subject to sales tax. You look at the transaction, mm-hmm. and you say, is the sales tax applied to that? It's always transaction-based.
Okay, well, and I'll draw you to another statute that's also transaction-based, 77.54, subsection 5, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exception. The sales price starts out the same way as the statute you were using. The sales price from the sale of and or storage and or consumption of aircraft, including accessories, attachments, parts used to modify the aircraft, is exempt from sales tax.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so that takes in the transaction. That talks about the transaction. How does that fit with your argument?
It applies to, quote, like as Your Honor just said, the sale of. So when Citation Partners buys a new engine,
yeah.
That purchase of the engine is exempt.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're talking about Citation Partners selling something to someone else. They're not selling an engine. They're selling a plane. They're leasing a plane. And that we know from the other section is specifically covered
by somebody
statute.
Is buying parts used to modify or repair this aircraft, right?
Right.
Okay. And that's covered under 77.54 sub 5.
That transaction when they buy the part, yes.
Okay. All right. And there would be no sales tax on it, correct?
There isn't. They don't pay sales tax on that.
Okay. Well, they don't, but the DOR wants to charge them for it by incorporating that same transaction into the overall term of a lease, correct?
No, Your Honor. So there's two separate transactions here. Like my car example, each time you do something, you look at to see if it's taxed. So here they go to the airplane parts store. They actually do this, right? They buy an engine.
Yep.
If there weren't for the statute, they have to pay sales tax on that engine. But there's a statute saying you don't have to pay sales tax. They're in good shape there. They don't have to pay sales tax. They've saved some money. Now they go and lease their airplane. Next transaction, just like selling the car a second time. Next transaction, They're leasing it for the full price of the plane because they have to.
Because you're not separating out any parts of the lease. You're saying the lease must be looked at as a whole, right?
They're not leasing airplane parts to a junk dealer. They're leasing an aircraft, which is taxed.
I understand that they're not leasing anything to a junk dealer. I got that out of the briefs, you can be sure. I do think that what we're talking about here is aircraft parts and aircraft services, both, correct?
No, Your Honor, we're talking about a lease. Put it this way. A plane is entirely
made up of
parts.
Okay, well,
you want
to talk about a lease. I want to talk about more than the lease, okay? Because if all I'm going to talk about is the lease, then I don't have to do anything except listen to your argument, right? I'd like to talk about the parts that are before us. And before us is more than just a lease. The question is whether these parts bear the same
benefit of not being subject to sales tax as the overall lease does not, correct?
Your Honor, what you said isn't a sales tax concept. There's no such thing as you pass the benefit along the line. Each transaction is taxed, and that's what the statute says.
Well, I'm not sure that I agree with you. There's a statute that was just read to us by opposing counsel that specifically talks about reimbursements. What do I do with that? I think that's in 15B1.
I don't have that statute.
Yeah, well, it just says discounts, including cash terms, coupons, that are not reimbursed by a third party, except as provided in C, that are allowed by the seller. So that's a sales tax concept. That's what we're talking about in 7751, sales tax. And there's reimbursement that's talked about there, too. So it's not just the lease that's dealt with as a sales tax.
Doesn't apply to our transaction, so I'm not sure where to go with that, Your Honor. Our statute taxes the total price and then says you can't deduct any expenses. That's what our statute says.
Which statute are you relying on for that broad premise?
Sure. Let me get it for you here.
Sure. Thank you.
It's 7751-15BA.
15BA.
And then
okay.
B, 15B are together, and then A separate in the parentheses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was reading to you 15BB, and that just follows what you would like to rely on, but it's all part of 15B, whether it's BA or BB, depends on where you start reading, correct?
Right, but it doesn't apply to this, that reimbursement language. Is not. No one's arguing that it applies here, that particular provision.
No, I think the argument was made that because these are not reimbursed, those items that are listed, it is reasonable that those that are listed immediately above may be items that can be reimbursed. I think that was the argument.
Okay, well, let me try to take that on more head-on, Your Honor. So the things that cannot be deducted from the sales price include service costs. You can't deduct a service cost, period. It doesn't matter if you call it a reimbursement. You can call it whatever you want. It's a service cost. It's a maintenance cost. It's labor. It's listed in the statute as things you cannot deduct. Call it whatever you want, but you can't deduct the thing. The thing being reimbursed can't be deducted if you're calling it a reimbursement. It says it right there in the statute. So I think the reimbursement concept is a bit of a red herring. Reimbursement doesn't do anything in the statute. It's not one of the things that matters under the statute.
Well, I think that it certainly the cost of service and repair does matter underneath a different section of the statute, 7752, sub either 210 or 1A10. I'm not sure because it's difficult sometimes to make a clear statement out of what the legislature writes, but except for the repair, service, alteration, and so forth of any aircraft or aircraft parts. And that is something that's accepted under the statute and the chapter that imposes sales tax. It starts out with except for. So those things are not taxed.
Those transactions are not taxed.
That's right. That's right.
And if I may, Your Honor, maybe...
But that service and sales are both included. I mean, if you're having
for
aircraft
that purchase,
parts...
Yeah, when you purchase that thing, when you purchase it from the airplane repair shop. And maybe can I try it from a different angle, Your Honor, that might help convince you? So our position is it's not legally relevant, but putting that aside for the moment, I would encourage the court to take a look at the lease. It's not super long. It's not fun to read, but it's not super long. And one thing that stands out is this to me. So right at the very beginning in the recitals, it says, Citation Partners is the owner, not just of the aircraft, but all parts and any replacement part. It owns all of these things it's replacing and taking off. That's all theirs, Citation Partners. So it's strange to say that their customer is reimbursing them for something they own. I don't even know what that means or how you can have that sort of relationship running when it's your stuff. It's their plane. And I'll point the court down to Section 1, too, because there was some discussion about what is really going on here. What is the relationship? It's much more like a car rental agreement than like a rent-to-own agreement. So it says the lessee has a non-exclusive right to use the plane. So it's not theirs. They're renting it. It's actually called a rental period. So they're renting the plane like I would rent a car. And then here you're supposed to go around and kick the tires, make sure it looks okay. And if then you say, okay, I'll take it as I find it. I'm okay with it. And then you have to, you know, it's on you if there's something happens to the plane. They say, you know, something goes wrong, you're not going to come back and get us Citation Partners. There's this legal sort of barrier put there to try to insulate them from liability. And if you go through the lease, there's all kinds of things like this. Lessor, so Citation Partners in Section 4, has final authority over scheduling. In Section 6, you must get written approval of Citation Partners to make a repair more than $5,000. Section 8, you may not make alterations without written consent of Citation Partners. On and on it goes, and then in the place where they actually charge the money, it says consideration for aircraft lease. And that's where these numbers are. They just happen to break out a prorated cost for repairs and parts. And they're not doing this kind of thing where someone says, so I, for a limited period of renting this plane, the engine starts smoking, right? So Citation Partners goes and replaces that engine. They own the old engine and the new engine under this lease, and they don't charge that engine price back to that person who happened to be using the plane at the time. What they do is, and they prorate it using some kind of formula based on miles flown, sort of like you would do if you have some kind of formula on your car rental agreement saying, you know, X number of miles times some fee. That's how they do it. So it's a formula that they spread out across all of their customers. It's not special to one person. And they're saying, when we spread out that cost, when our plane that we're leasing is actually flyable, we're doing our customers a favor and we're their agent. They cite cases from all over the country without regard to the statutory language in those states, which is quite different than ours. From all over the country, they've not cited one case where someone who is a lessor or seller of a thing is also their customer's agent for that same thing for purposes of making that thing sellable. They've cited no case from anywhere in the country. So they're asking you to do something unprecedented in Wisconsin statute, because the statute says nothing about agency or reimbursements. They're asking you to conclude that they're an agent, and they can't even find a case anywhere in this country that says that same kind of relationship as an agency.
Counsel, I want to ask you a question about that in your brief. You argue in your brief that the agency is a question of fact. Your opposing counsel says it's a question of law. I hear your arguments. It doesn't meet probably the standard either way. But that may be an important question. I did some research on that, and there seems to be some inconsistency in some of the cases and language. It strikes me, however, that in this context, we would not defer to the Tax Appeals Commission, even though the Tax Appeals Commission concluded it was there was no agency relationship. But that would be an independent finding that we would use based on their factual findings. There's some inconsistency in some of the cases. I need to get into that now. But I guess I want you to defend that idea. It's different, you know, obviously if you have a jury finding of agency or something like that, you know, that's a different kind of thing. And in fact, the case you cite for that proposition actually dials back to that kind of case in following the cites back. But I don't see how agency can be a question of fact that we just leave the lower court in every circumstance.
Well, I think it's probably often a mixed question. So there's probably some facts in the world have to matter.
Right.
And then whether those facts add up to what's legally defined as agency probably could be a legal conclusion after you have all those facts.
Right.
So I think in this case, what the commission did is they looked at the stipulations. They also looked at the lease itself. And they said, well, there's nothing here that looks like it doesn't call it an agent in the lease. And as they just went through the lease, the lessor, Citation Partners, if anything, is the one in control here. So I think to answer your question, Your Honor, I think if this court were to reach the agency question, I suppose the court's in the same position to look at the lease. And unless there's other facts the court thinks that might matter that aren't in the record. But I don't see how that could be. It's hard to imagine a situation, and Citation Partners hasn't pointed to one, where your customer and you're selling something to, when you sell it to them and it works, you're that customer's agent. That's what they're suggesting. And that could happen in all kinds of circumstances. So say, for example, in the production process, someone's making a car. There might be, you know, in different states, different countries, as they produce it, they might be exempt from sales tax for different components of that car, for labor costs, you name it. But when you get that finished car, you just pay the price for the car. You don't go back and look at see if they had exemptions further back in line in the process when they make that car. You pay sales tax on the transaction.
The reason we're looking back is because there's a statute there's a statute that exempts certain things for aircrafts. Your examples are interesting, but I don't think they have much to do with what we have to decide today.
Let me try again. But the exemptions for something particular is my point. It's for a different transaction further back in time. So, for example, labor isn't taxed as sales tax. So under Citation Partners theory, you could imagine any kind of business trying to carve out whatever happens to be exempt further down the line. So Walmart doesn't pay its employees. I mean, Walmart pays its employees, hopefully, for their labor costs. But that's not subject to sales tax. Under this theory, I think Walmart could say, well, you know, we're doing our customers a favor because there are people on the floor to help them find things and to check them out. Therefore, they're really just reimbursing us when they purchase whatever, an iPad, for those costs. And therefore, we don't charge sales tax on 20% of the sales price anymore. There's all kinds of exemptions, specific narrow exemptions in the code. They all of a sudden swallow up the thing that's taxed.
So if this were a situation where there wasn't a lessee and it's just Citation Partners,
yes,
your position is these exemptions belong to them. So they pay them, they get the exemptions because they're for service and they're for parts and they're airplanes, and so Citation Partners alone would be entitled to the exemptions because they're the ones that own the plane and they're the ones that get the maintenance on the plane.
Not quite, Your Honor, but so they're not identity-based, they're transaction-based. So it depends on who goes and gets the maintenance done. It could be anybody.
Who gets this exemption? Because someone must get it, right?
It's just,
I mean, it can't just be for the big airlines. It's got to also apply equally for smaller airlines. So this is a smaller one, right?
It's at the point of sale. So you go and you hand over the money at the repair shop. That's when you get the exemption. It's at when you actually do the transaction.
So
not like
for
in a tax form.
Citation Partners to get this exemption, they would have to do the transaction and be exempt from sales tax.
They do.
At that point.
They are.
And the fact that they're passing that along and getting reimbursement for it, you're saying they're getting the exemption twice?
Sort of. It's just the exemption only applies to sales of maintenance or parts. So then when they lease their plane, their whole plane, not a part of it, their whole plane that flies, that's taxed. The aircraft is taxed under the code.
So if they paid the taxes for this, you would give them a refund, right?
If they paid the sales tax for the maintenance initially?
Yes.
If it was to a qualified, you know, if a Wisconsin transaction, yeah, maybe if they went out of state, that would be a different rule applied. But, and as far as we know, they shouldn't be paying tax on these transactions at the point of sale to make for maintenance and parts. That's where they get their tax break.
So if they instead have the lessee get the maintenance, get the parts, the lessee would get the sales tax exemption when they purchase the parts.
Right, because it's nothing to do with the person, right? They don't get it personally. It's just when you go and buy it, you just hand over a different amount of money. That's how that works. Like you go to Walmart, you buy toothpaste, you hand over a certain amount of money that has sales tax in it.
So you agree that this exemption is due?
Is what?
It's due to someone, right?
It happens at the point of transaction. So if they go buy a maintenance or parts, then right then they're not exempt to sales tax. I don't know how due applies in this circumstance, but it's just at the sale.
Okay. Did that happen here?
As far as I know, they don't pay sales tax on their maintenance and repairs if they're done in Wisconsin. That's because it's a Wisconsin statute.
And it doesn't make any difference to you that whether the lessee pays that or the lessor pays that?
It's whoever's at the transaction. So it could be Citation Partners. Citation Partners could show up, I'm Citation Partners, here's the money. They could show up and say, I'm an agent, here's the money. Whoever they want to be. It's the transaction of buying a service that is tax-free, that the sales tax doesn't apply to. Just like any other purchase you make, sometimes they charge a little extra for sales tax when you hand over the money, and in this case they don't when they hand over the money for the engine. That's how it works. To your honors, let me see if I have anything else in my notes, if there aren't other questions. I believe I've covered the points I intended to cover. Were there other questions from the bench?
Yeah, I want you to go back to 7751 15BA, please. And that defines sales tax?
Let me catch up with you, Your
Honor.
Sales
price, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. My notes are all out of order. I apologize.
That's okay.
7715 15, or 5115B?
15BA.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I'm wanting is, why isn't the total amount of consideration that's not subject to sales tax, including these parts that are now part of the lease? You're saying because they're encompassed within the lease, they're not included, correct? This doesn't apply to them because what's being taxed is the totality of the lease, mm-hmm. not the parts that make up the lease, correct?
The total price you paid for the lease. It doesn't matter if you've incurred labor costs, your own lighting and heating for the plane while you store it, whatever your costs are to get that to market, that's still taxed. We know that because it's total consideration and without deduction. Whatever your costs are to get your product to market, you can't take out is what that tells us.
Okay, thank you.
And your point is there can't be reimbursement for the tax-exempt product or service in this instance?
Correct, Your Honor. My point is that calling it reimbursement doesn't change how the statute applies. It still says, if you're saying you're reimbursing me for my cost of making the plane ready to sell, so what? It's still part of my total, it's still part of the total consideration I'm getting, and it's still a cost I've taken on to get that product to market. It's labor costs, service costs. We know those things can't be deducted. You can say, you're reimbursing me, but that doesn't make any difference because this tax is not just applied to profits, right? So anytime you buy something, there's reimbursement in a sense up to the point where the person starts making a profit.
So if these parties wanted to, under your logic, if they wanted the lessee to pay for the parts and the service and receive the exemption, they should not do that through the form of a lease. They should do that through a separate transaction, and then you would agree that would be exempt.
The transaction when the lessee buys the maintenance, that would be exempt. Whoever buys the maintenance, that transaction, they don't hand over the sales tax. That's correct.
Okay. And if it weren't part of a lease, but they were just saying, okay, you go buy it, we'll pay you back, if that were outside of the terms of the lease, you would be okay with that being exempt as well.
In your example, who's buying it and who's paying who back?
Let's say Citation Partners is buying it for the lessee.
Well, Your Honor, I think we probably have to get more into the facts then because...
Well, you said the lessee could do it on their own.
Right.
And you said Citation Partners can do it on their own.
Correct.
And they're exempt from taxation.
For that transaction, right.
For that transaction because it's at the counter where you're exempt and you're not paying sales tax or you do pay and you get
correct.
Reimbursed for it. So because this is part of a lease agreement versus a separate agreement to pay on the side. Because it's part of the lease is why it's taxable as a lease payment.
Here it is, Your Honor. Now, if what you're suggesting is you can simply just do the same thing you're doing right now but have a separate document that carves out some of the seller, the lessor's costs and then say, well, we're out of the statute now because we split up our contract in two, then no, I wouldn't agree with that. You look at the substance of the transaction, not the labels, put it this way. The customer and Citation Partners have all had the same interests. They get to pay less tax, right? So, of course, they'll contract around this however they can, if they can find a way around it contractually. But that's not what the statute's about. The statute's about the total price of the lease, and you can't take out the cost. You can't just contract around that.
So how would they go about making sure they're not taxed on something that's exempt?
They're not taxed when they go and buy the maintenance. That's what's exempt. They're supposed to be taxed on the whole price of the lease. So,
but that can't be something where one person on behalf of the other makes that purchase and they get paid back for the purchase they make.
So if Citation Partners purchased an engine for their own plane, right, and they put an engine on their plane, it's just an engine on their plane. I'm not sure who's getting reimbursed in that scenario.
Well, I get what you're saying, but what you just said to me was the lessee could go buy that part and be exempt.
For that transaction, sure. Anyone can buy it who want, but the problem is the second transaction, not the first transaction.
Yeah, I think that you are, this is where counsel gets into the agency, of course, because what you're essentially saying is that no one can be the agent for this kind of a purchase and pass the benefit on to their principal. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
No, Your Honor. So say, for example, the lessee doesn't own the plane, doesn't own the parts, right? We know in the lease, Citation Partners owns the plane, owns the parts. So say the lessee goes out and buys an engine and puts it on the plane, right? It didn't pay any money for that transaction. And now if Citation Partners pays them back So Citation Partners just got a new engine on their plane. They're really happy. It's their plane. They get it back. They get the engine. They could then reimburse their lessee, because that's not a lease. That's not a sale. That's just paying someone back for someone who did you a favor. It's like someone buying me, going down to Walgreens, buying me toothpaste.
That's their argument for being the principal and the agent. They're saying that they operated as the agent of the lessee when they did what the lessee required to keep the plane in maintenance.
My example has nothing to do with agency. It's,
no,
there was
no
lease. There was no sale. There's no sale in my, or lease in my example. No one's selling or leasing anything to anyone. It's like if I go, my boss says, go buy me some toothpaste. I go down and buy some toothpaste for my boss. I pay the money. I come back up. My boss pays me back. I guess I was my boss's agent when I bought the toothpaste. My boss pays me back, and I hand him the toothpaste. That's not a sale, right? He's just paying me back.
Why isn't this the same?
Right.
Because I'm not, but because Citation Partners is keeping the toothpaste. It's like I go down and buy the toothpaste, and then I keep it. And then my boss gives me $2.
Yeah, but they don't have a lease if they don't have a plane, though.
What's that, Your Honor?
They don't have a lease. I mean, they don't have a valid lease that they would get paid for if they have a plane that doesn't work.
Exactly. So then that's why it's one of their costs of doing business that the statute says is tax. Your total, you don't take out your cost of doing business from your transactions. It's like any other person selling anything else in the world. There's nothing special here. Everyone who sells things has costs.
They have a special statute, and that's why we're all here.
Right. This is exempt.
Right.
For sales are exempt. There's lots of exemptions in the statute, but they don't come out of the sales price when you buy something at the store. They just don't. This is completely novel what they're proposing. They point to no case that says this, and in the country, this doesn't happen.
They're just saying they bought the toothpaste for them, and they're paying them back for the toothpaste.
But they don't give the toothpaste to the lessee. It's their toothpaste. I now really regret the toothpaste analogy. I have to admit, it's a silly one, but. But I encourage the court, in my short amount of time left, is to go back to the statute, see what the statute covers, apply the language as written. It says nothing about agency or reimbursement for a reason. It has nothing to do with this case. And that, I think that's an interesting but ultimately irrelevant detour from what the statute covers. If there are no further questions, Your Honor, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Rebuttal.
Thank you, Chief Justice. So we heard a lot from the department about that there are two transactions they contend here. The one transaction is with the vendors at the point of sale of the repair parts and maintenance services, and then they contend there's this second transaction under the lease. I think a better way to think about it, at least with regard to the engine maintenance parts and maintenance services, is that the lease simply reflects that reimbursement. It's not a separate transaction. It's really one transaction where there's a subsequent reimbursement to make the agent whole for advancing its own money to vendors for those aircraft parts and repair services. I think the two transaction approach and analogy that the department is making here is wrong with respect to the reimbursement payments. It may be right with respect to the flight hourly rate. I mean, there is a lease transaction that's sales taxable in part, but not with respect to the engine maintenance and aircraft maintenance. That is specifically carved out in all of the lease documents, and I think it's something that also under the lease documents and the relationship between Citation Partners and the lessees is that the lessees are in operational control of the aircraft. They're the ones that use it. They're the ones that are responsible under the side agreement and the dry lease for maintaining the aircraft, which is different than the previous example was the car rental example. That's why this is different, is because the parties have specifically contracted where the maintenance is going to be responsibility of the lessees. That's also why, when you think about this case as not really two transactions, but a single transaction, it's why there's no double benefit, as the department contends, because at the point of sale of the aircraft parts and services by vendors, that's sales tax exempt under Act 185. And then the reimbursement is simply just, it's not a separate transaction. It's just making the agent whole. The principal, the lessees are making the agent whole for advancing those costs. I think it's also significant what you did not hear from the department, and that is they have not proposed any case law or other rule that would negate the general rule from the cases that we cite from other jurisdictions. That is when you have an agent who makes a transaction on behalf of a lessee, a subsequent reimbursement payment is not subject to tax. And that makes sense, practically and I think legally, because in our case, when there's a Act 185 exemption at the ultimate point of sale, the reimbursement, if you were to tax that reimbursement, you'd be taxing the exact thing that the legislature says is exempt. Conversely, if for some reason the Act 185 sales tax exemption didn't exist, there was a tax on those aircraft parts by vendors, you still wouldn't tax the reimbursement because then you'd have a double taxation problem. And the department cites nothing to contradict that general rule that we're proposing to the court. So for those reasons, Citation Partners requests that the court reverse the ruling and order of the Tax Appeals Commission and hold that the reimbursement payments from that Citation Partners received on behalf of and as agent for the lessees be exempt from sales tax pursuant to Act 185.
What section of the statutes, of the current statutes, do you rely on for that?
For Act 185 was took effect July 1, 2014.
Where does it show up in Chapter 77? That's really what I was asking.
Where is Act 185 in Chapter 77? So the with regard to aircraft parts, it is 77.54. I believe it's 5A3.
Okay.
And then with respect to services, Your Honor, it is 77.52. Let me find the exact subsection. It is, just one moment. With respect to services, it's 77.52, subsection 2, paragraph A, subdivision 10.
It's 2A10.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Thank you for your oral argument. Thank you, students, for visiting us today. Justice Dallet will be out to talk with you if you have the time for that. She can't talk to you about the case, but you can ask her anything you'd like. She's very